Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Russian forces have targeted the Zaporizhia region in Ukraine today with heavy shelling, while Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has announced he returned home from his trip to the US. This comes as Russian President Vladimir Putin used the word war to refer to the conflict in Ukraine, the first known time he has publicly deviated from his carefully crafted description of Moscow's invasion as a special military operation 10 months after it began. Well, we're joined on the line now by Ukrainian MP with the Golos Party, Ina Sovsun, and you're welcome, Ina, to the programme this evening. We might start with that visit by President Zelensky to the United States this week. It was the first time he's left Ukraine since the war broke out in February. Is the visit being seen as a success?
Well, I do think it is a success. And I will tell you this, that here in Ukraine, when we did manage to watch it, and I have to say it was not immediate because the majority of people do not have electricity at homes, but when we watched it, watching the United States Congress giving a standing ovation to the president of Ukraine and by extension to the people of Ukraine was a very emotional moment. I do think that what it symbolizes, what it stands for, is that the Congress of the United States and by extension the people of the United States recognize that we have shown immense strength and resilience facing greater power and actually not being defeated and actually winning on the battlefield. So it was a very important moment for symbolical reasons, but then also for practical reasons. We have finally got an announcement by the United States government saying that they will provide us with a Patriot air defense system, something we have been asking for since February, truth be told. And now we're supposed to get it. So it did have also some practical results as well. So on both ends, I think it was a successful trip.
And if we just look at those practical results that you got, the Patriot missiles, why are they so important? What will they do that will be so helpful?
Well, I'll tell you this. Now I'm speaking to you from my apartment in a residential building, which is completely dark because I don't have any electricity since 9 in the morning. I'm looking out of the window and I hardly see any buildings with any lights in them. Majority of the area in Kyiv where I live in is without electricity, and that has been like this since Monday, basically. We only get electricity a couple hours a day, and that is because of the Russian air missiles attacks. And we have been asking to help us deal with those attacks since March, you remember it very well. And we have been telling that they will be destroying our civilian infrastructure, particularly energy infrastructure, and we have no way to protect our energy infrastructure. And now when the whole world have seen this actually happening, finally, the United States administration gave into that and decided that they will, after all, give this air defense system. But they're crucially important. I wish they came in earlier because now millions of Ukrainians are sitting in dark homes without any electricity or water or heating in sub-zero temperatures. And that is because we are not able to cover our skies as much as we wish for that to be.
Okay, so that is a positive development, as you say. One of the reasons President Zelensky chose to leave Ukraine for the first time and go to the United States, it has been reported, is because there is an awareness of waning support for financial packages in the United States to be given to Ukraine in some quarters, particularly among some of the Republican Party. Is that something that you'd be concerned about?
Well, of course, any change in government in the LA country is something that we are watching very closely. And we understand that the Republicans, for multiple reasons, will take a bit of a different stance to help in Ukraine compared to the Democratic House. So we understand there will be some changes. And I do think that one of the things that the president wanted to show was that we are open, that we are willing to show how we are spending the money that we are getting as the microfinancial help. And also to remind that after all, we are still fighting for the whole West. And that was important to remind to anybody, because it's not about, accountability is important. But we have to remember about this historical importance of this battle altogether. And I think that is what the president did very well in his speech in front of the Congress.
So good news that Ukraine has got the support from the US, but reports also that North Korea has delivered arms to Russia. So as Ukraine receives arms, so too does Russia. There's no end to this.
Well, realistically speaking, the military potential of the North Korea is not comparable to that of the United States. We understand that. So I don't think that this matches the level of support that we're getting from the West. But also the initial stage of, you know, the Russian army, after all, has been the biggest army, much bigger than we were. So the baseline, so to speak, was very different for us and for the Russian army. But the fact that they are now retreating to getting help from the outcast countries like Iran or North Korea basically shows where on the geopolitical scene they are. And the fact that they have to ask for help from those countries basically also means that they're running out of their own military equipment, which is a good sign. I mean, it's not a, you know, it's not a victory yet, but it's definitely meaning that Russians understand that their power is on decline.
I mentioned that Russian President Vladimir Putin used the word war yesterday for what, as far as we know, it's the first public time he has used that word to describe what is happening in Ukraine. I don't know, has there been any reaction in Ukraine to the use of that word, or would you have any hope that his use of that word would change how Russian people think of what's going on?
Well, I did see some reaction on the Russian social media. They're a bit confused about the usage of this word because, well, basically it's not allowed to call it war in Russia. It's against their legislation that Putin pushed through the parliament. So it actually just confused people. Like, there are people who are in jail now because they called it war. And then suddenly the president goes to and publicly calls it war. I think that not so much changed the understanding of the situation as just got people more confused about this. Mm. So I think that is the general feeling, but I cannot be, you know, absolutely sure of the representation of the feelings and minds of the Russian people.
You've painted a really vivid picture of what it's like where you are right now in Kyiv with all the apartments and houses around you in darkness, or the vast majority of them in darkness. And heading into Christmas, and I know it's really, really cold over there at the moment. How are people coping generally?
Well, I wouldn't lie to you saying that we're all festive and you know, willing to enjoying the moment. We are not. It's dark and cold, and it's pretty difficult. I have not seen the light in my house in the evenings for 5 days now, and I have to find creative ways of entertaining my son. He was just now finishing his piano class with the, you know, lantern on without any proper electricity. So it is not nice atmosphere to be in. And of course, we all want to feel the Christmas spirit and everything, but we can't because, well, I'm separated from my partner who is at the with the army on the east. So are thousands of other families in Ukraine who are split. So, well, we are trying to get some Christmas spirit for our kids, I guess. But in general, it's not a very nice place and time to be in. But in no way it means that we are willing to give in and to say, okay, now we are done with this war. We want to negotiate. Let's settle in and let's talk to Putin. Because people are actually getting even more and more angry after living through this terrible experience that Putin subjected us to. People are getting more and more angry and more willing to fight. And also this resilience is helped by the fact that actually on the battlefield we are winning. Russians have not taken any land since early summer. They have only been retreating. And that, of course, gives us hope. But we understand that there is hope that we will win. We are absolutely sure we will win. But the cost of this victory is yet to be decided. And it greatly depends on the level of support we shall be getting from our Western partners, of course.
I know in the past month that Russia has amped up its drone strikes against Ukraine. Do you have any indication or any expectation that there will be increased attacks over Christmas, or do you have a hope perhaps that they might level off over Christmas?
Oh no, I have no hope that they will level off over Christmas. If anything, they will actually increase the level of attacks. The most recent attack, the drone attack we had, was actually night from Sunday to Monday, which in Ukraine is the so-called St. Mykolai's night, is the night when the St. Mykolai comes and brings presents to the kids and puts it under the pillows. So waking up my son in the middle of the night when he was supposed to wake up to get his presents and tell him that it's an air raid alert and he has to go to the bathroom to hide. Trust me, that was a very disturbing experience for me personally. So those drone attacks are continuing. They have not stopped. The last one was 5 days ago and it was pretty devastating. I think it was up to the last one that actually a majority of the residential buildings in Kyiv hardly have any electricity at all. We think they will try to to continue with that. The question is to what extent we would be able to fight back. And the statistics are actually pretty good. Out of 70 drones that they have launched on Monday night, we have put down 60, so absolute majority of them. So the data are pretty optimistic. But again, it's still had done lots of damage, okay, regardless of the small number of drones who have actually reached their destination.
Can I just ask you finally then, Ina, if this is too personal, that's fine. You don't need to answer. But you mentioned your son there and that really difficult situation, waking him up for the alarm, the air raid alarm. How's your son coping, or how are the children around him coping?
Well, I think pretty good given the circumstances. I personally had to make a tough choice of whether to send him abroad, for instance, with my mom, or to make him stay here. And me and his dad, we decided it would be better for him to still be with his parents. So he's happy that he's with his parents. But sometimes he's getting too scared to sleep alone in his room, even though he's 10 and he typically sleeps alone. But sometimes he would come over at night and say, I'm going to sleep here today with you because I'm too scared. And he doesn't say that it's because of the war, but I know it is because of the war, because he's been sleeping alone for years now. And then suddenly he says that he's scared to sleep in his room alone. But I think that he got into his routine, and me as a mom, I'm just trying to keep his routine. We don't have any electricity, but you still have your piano classes. Yes, we don't have any heating, so we can go for a walk and warm up this way. So I think making life as normal for him as possible, to an extent possible under these circumstances, is what keeps his spirits up. And that's what I have to do as a mother, and thousands, millions of mothers and parents and fathers all around Ukraine. I think routine helps, and explaining to him what is happening and the level of danger he's in also helps. So okay, we're trying to do our best here.
Okay, well, I wish you both, I was going to say a happy Christmas, but a safe Christmas maybe is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll speak to you in the new year. And thank you very much for joining us. That is Ina Sovsun, Ukrainian MP. Thank you, Ina.
Thank you.